Who is the son of David? Who is the son of David? Now that's the question that we have tonight in Mark 12:35, and we're going to go only over to 12:37, only just about three verses in all. Except we're not going to go there just right here yet. We're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to go to the first chapter of Matthew. And we're going to go into the genealogy of Jesus. Who is David? Who is the son of David? Now, in Matthew, is the lineage going back to David, because the son of David will be Messiah. In Luke, over in Luke, the third chapter, I can find it here, Luke chapter 3, we have the lineage of Mary, going back all the way back in the third chapter, all the way back to Adam. We come from the first Adam, but we inherit death from the first Adam, but we inherit eternal life through the second Adam. So, from the genealogy in Luke, the third chapter, in verse 23, all the way to 38, we have Mary's genealogy going all the way back to Adam. And remember, Genesis 3:15, when you go back to Adam, the curse was placed upon Adam and the woman, except the child, the Messiah child, would not come from Adam. It would come through Mary, the woman. The woman does not pass on the sin nature to man. The blood of a child comes from its father, not its mother. As miraculous as that sounds, that's a scientific, medical fact. Matthew, the first chapter, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, son of the descendant of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers, who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez was the father of Hezron. And Hezron. Now, by the way, the curse line here is talking about that here. But if you go over there in Mary's line, which really, this is just, Jesus was Joseph's adopted son. But he inherited the line of the king through Joseph. Joseph should have been on the throne of Israel. And yet he was a stonemason, or what most people call is a carpenter, but he was probably a stonemason. The father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram was the father of Abinadab, and Abinadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Solomon. Solomon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. Now here we have, Rahab the harlot. Jesus is related to the Gentile world too, to redeem them. He's our kinsman redeemer. Rahab, Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. Here we have another one right here. We have another Gentile. And Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon was the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon. And Ammon, the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah, also called Coniah, and Jehoiakim, and his brothers at the time of the deportation and exile to Babylon. In 2 Kings 24:14 and 1 Chronicles 3:15-16. After the deportation of Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shelah. And And Shealtiel, that is, Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. And by the way, Zerubbabel, that means the seed of Babylon. He was born in Babylon. Was the father of Abihu, and Abihud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achan. Achan, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. And Eleazar, the father of Mathan. And Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called Messiah Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14. From David to the Babylonian deportation of exile, 14 generations. And finally, from the Babylonian deportation to the Messiah, 14 more generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child by the power of and the person of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, now, Jesus didn't have human blood running in his veins. He had divine blood and perfect blood, sinless blood. And Joseph, her promised husband, being a just and righteous man, not wanting to expose her publicly to shame, planned to send her away and divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The Lord is salvation, or Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah saves. For he will save his people from their sins. And all this happened in order that the fulfillment, what the Lord has spoken through the prophet Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name God with us, Emmanuel. Which translated as God with us, Isaiah 7:14. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, now God dealt with Joseph in a dream. He hypnotized him in a dream, and he awoke from his hypnotic trance. The same thing when God operated on Adam in the garden, he put him in a hypnotic trance. The word there in Greek is hypnosis. Hypnos. He woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary to his home as his wife. But he kept her as a virgin until she had given birth to a son and her firstborn child, and he named him Jesus. The Lord is salvation. That's the story. Who is the son of David now? Who is the real son of David? Go back over now onto Luke, the third chapter, for just a moment. Get back there. Did not hold it in place, which was a mistake. Luke, the third chapter. I can find it now. When he had began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being, as it is supposed, the son of Joseph, the son by marriage of Eli, the son of Matthias. Now, Eli was Mary's father. The son of Matthias, the son of Levi, the son of Malachi, the son of Jaini and Joseph, and then let's go all the way down. Now, Jesus is the son of Mary. The son of Canaan, 36, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Hillel, Mahalalel, the son of Canaan. Now, Enoch was a man that God took to be with him, a type of the rapture. And the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Now in Genesis 3:15, going back there, we're going to see who David's son is. Genesis 3:15. I should be reading this from Hebrew. Let's go all the way back to number 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me and deceived me, and I ate from the forbidden tree." 2 Corinthians 11:3 and 1 Timothy 2:14 comment on this in the New Testament. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed above and beyond all the cattle, and more than any other animal of the field." Now, many people believe, many theologians believe, that the serpent was the king of all the animals. He was more beautiful, and he was the king of all the animals. The serpent is a definite type of Satan. Satan was the most beautiful. Hillel was his name in Hebrew. The shining one, the bright one, beautiful, perfect. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 talk about Satan. Now, Satan just literally indwelled this animal, this serpent, this reptile. "And more than any other animal in the field, and on your belly you shall go, you shall walk," it's what it says in Hebrew, "and dust, in the dust you shall eat in all the days of your life. And I will put active hatred, open hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed, the Antichrist, and her seed, Jesus Christ. He shall fatally bruise you as to the head, and you shall only bruise his as to the heel." Galatians 4:4. "When the fullness of time comes, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem all of those that were under the curse of the law." Now let's go back to Mark, the 12th chapter. Mark chapter 12. Verses 35. Jesus began to say, and as he taught in the portico, the court of the temple, "How can the scribes say that Christ is the son of David?" Matthew 22:41-46 and Luke 20:41-44. "David himself said, when he inspired by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord, the Father, said to me, Lord, the Son, the Messiah, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" David himself calls him the Son of Messiah, the Son of the Messiah, the Lord. So how can it be that he is David's son? And the large crowd enjoyed hearing Jesus and listened to him with delight. We'll quote right there and go back into the original language now. And 35, "Kai apokrites ho Jesus elegain, didaskon ento herion pos legusen, ho grammates, ho te ho Christos wios davi esten." And having answered, having been caused to answer, that word conjunction there, that little conjunction, page 208 in the analytical Greek lexicon, and having answered, nominative singular masculine, first aorist participle passive, but having been called to answer, the Jesus, he kept on saying, third person singular perfect indicative, he kept on saying, and he kept on teaching, nominative singular masculine, present participle active, he kept on saying and he kept on teaching in the temple. How? That word "how" there, it's a little adverb, page 358. "How you all say," third person plural, present indicative active, "how you keep on saying that the one scribes, the hoi grammates, the one scribes, the nominative plural masculine, definite article and noun, because the Christ, Son of David, he is. And he continues to be. He always has been. Verse number 36 now. Autos David epan anto pneumati to hagio epan kurios to kurio mu kathou ek dexion mu hios on so tus ek thrus su hippo kato ton podon. Now, this is all quoted in all the MCLs, so it's all capitals. David, him, he said there, third person singular, secondary, and indicative active from Lego, there, a pan, in the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, immersed in the Spirit, the Holy. To nomate tu holy. And then he said, Lord, third person, second aorist, indicative, active. Again, he said, Lord. That means Jehovah. Remember? Kyrios, Lord. To the Lord of me, you said. God the Father said to God the Son, Jehovah. Jehovah means who he shall become. And Jesus became, John 1:14, Kaiho Logos Sarkianato. And the Word of the Jehovah flesh, he became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. You set out of the right sides of me, until, that word heos on there, now that on is a third class conditional particle, undetermined but with prospect of determination, and what tells you what part of speech that is right here, this though. Though comes from tithemi. And it is first person singular, second aorist, subjunctive active. So the subjunctive mode rules that particle, conditional particle. You said here, the enemies, the active haters of you, remember there, Satan's sons will hate God's son. Satan's sons will hate God's sons. Until of you, down under hippocato, the feet of you. Until I place your enemies down under the feet of you. Verse number 37 now. Autos David lege auton kurion kai pothen autu esten. Huios kai ho polis uklos ukean auton adios. David himself, that's nominee singular masculine reflexive pronoun. Nominee singular masculine reflexive pronoun. David himself, he says, and he keeps on saying, as it's written in the Bible, it is, you know, when you write something down, it keeps on saying it. You know, when John Barnes von Mosheim, when he wrote his ecclesiastical history, he keeps on saying what he said today. I'm reading a historian right now, Eusebius. It goes way back there in 200 and 300 AD. And he's still talking today. Josephus is still talking today. So David in the Bible, he's still talking today. Still talking today. Jesus is still talking today. And he says, him. That's accusative singular masculine, third person pronoun. Lord, kurion, and that's accusative singular masculine, Lord, and conjunction there, from where of him he is, from where, from whence of him, that's the oblative or genitive, either one there you can have there, genitive singular masculine, third person pronoun, and then he is third person singular, present indicative active from Amy. He is son. That word son there means heir. He's an heir of Mary. He's a son of woman. You know, when Enoch wrote his book, He always says one thing, that Jesus is the Son of Woman. The Messiah is Son of Woman. All the promised seed is Son of Woman, not Son of Man. The heir, that word son there means the heir. And, conjunction again, and the crowd, the great crowd, that word police there means great crowd. Crowd. How much is a crowd? 5 to 10,000 people. That's what oklos means. And then it says, it kept on listening, or kept on hearing of him gladly. It kept on hearing of him, or from him, actually, oblative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. Gladly, a little adverb there. Gladly. Happily, they kept on listening to him. Happily, they kept on listening to him. Why did they keep on listening to him gladly? Jesus said, come unto me and I will make your burdens light. He said, these people have put burdens on your back that they wouldn't lift with one little finger. Jesus was giving them freedom. We talked about the Waldenses and we talked about the Paulicians. The Waldenses, that we talked about them in the valleys of Piedmont, they died by the hundreds there. They were tortured and they were pulled apart, drawn and quartered. They were burned to death. They were skinned alive. For your religious freedom you have today. They were the fathers of it. The writings that they made, some of them are still in extant today, still in existence today. Gladly they heard Jesus. He was removing those heavy burdens off of them and giving them eternal life. You know, you go to the Islamic religion, and boy, the only way you're going to get to directly to heaven is by dying. You have to die for the cause. You have to be killed in jihad. When you're going to kill somebody, you got to be killed, and then you get to go to heaven, and you get so many virgins, and you get to take so many of your family with you. You get to be their intercessor to go to heaven. But unless you do that, you got to go to hell first. And then if you're a Catholic, you got to go through all these rules and rigmaroles constantly. And then when you die, you get to go to purgatory. You still get to go to a temporary hell. In the Pentecostal ranks, you never know whether you're going to go to heaven or hell from one day to the next. Jesus gives you eternal life, free and clear. He loves you. He wants to have you with him forever and ever and ever. He died for your sins. He died for all man's sins. But it's only efficacious to those that believe. That's a fact. Have you believed? Have you asked the Lord to save you? Have you taken His light burden upon you? You know, when you start serving the Lord, it's easy because you want to do it. I remember when I was totally converted, and that's been over 50 years ago, I could not get enough preaching of the Word of God. I got old tapes. I read every book I could read. I listened to every sermon I could listen to. I memorized them. I just was full of the Word of God. And it was easy. It wasn't a hard thing to do. It was easy. I wanted to do it. I couldn't. There wasn't enough access back then. We didn't have the internet back then. We had reel-to-reel tapes. You had radio programs that chopped you off and on and off and on and off, little 15-minute little things. And you know, when you're saved and when you're on fire for the Lord, you just can't get enough. You're hungry for God's Word. And it's easy. It's an easy, easy burden. I remember Brother Ray, I taught a lot when I was pastoring the church there in East Bakersfield. I taught constantly. I preached probably 6 or 8 times a week, and I preached at every we have a women's meeting, and he came to the women's meeting because I was preaching from Corinthians. And he came there on his lunch hour. And he went in there, and he just couldn't get enough of this. He was just really just hungry for the Word of God. And he said he felt ashamed, but he called his boss and told him he didn't feel good. He got back to work. He just had to stay the rest of the day and listen to the preaching of God's Word. You just have to do that. You want to do that. It's not something that you are required to do. You know, the Muslims, you got to pray 5 times a day. The Muslims got a rule for everything. You if you blow your nose, you got to blow your nose. You got to comb your hair. You got to go to the bathroom exactly like Muhammad told you to go to the bathroom under Sharia law. Everything you do, you got to do it just according to rules. They got rules for everything. Jesus Christ, follow me. Just follow me. Follow me. Our Father, we send this message out. Help us to follow you. Please forgive us where we fail you. Please forgive me where I fail you. Use your word wherever it goes in the world and send your blessings with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.